To the Gospel of John and chapter 10. The Gospel of John and chapter 10, and we've got a single verse this evening. Now, all the boys and girls, it's lovely to see you here this evening, and I think all the boys and girls are off school tomorrow, aren't you? And the deal is this, we're going to look at one verse this evening, and now's the time for your mum or dad to put their thumbs up and say, if you're able to get an ice cream tomorrow. If you can memorize the verse that we're going to read together, tomorrow your mum or dad will buy you an ice cream with sprinkles and a flake. If they're going to do that, put their thumb up. Ask them to put their thumb up now if you want to enter the competition. Yes, ice creams tomorrow. Mummy and daddy, if they can remember the verse and say it off by heart. So let's see how we go. John's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse number 9. The Lord Jesus is the one who is speaking, and this is what he says. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, boys and girls, that's the verse that you have to memorize. I'm even going to make it easier for you because the verse has got 24 words in it, but it's only the first 15 that you've got to memorize. Only the first 15, and the first 15 are these. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So if you can memorize the first 15 words, boys and girls, there's an ice cream for you tomorrow. Well, this is a lovely text, and as I've indicated, there are 24 words in all in this lovely verse. Whenever you look at the verse a little bit closer, you'll find that there's only 22 of the words are single-syllable words. 22 of these 24 words are single-syllable. Only two of the words have got two syllables. You can find them out for yourself. This is not a complicated verse. And whoever you are here this evening, or whoever it is that's listening online, this is a wonderful gospel verse spoken by the Lord Jesus. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. It's easy to memorize, and the boys and girls have got an easy ice cream coming tomorrow. Many a child in this church and many a child in our church fellowship in the Iron Hall have been the recipient of a Bible bookmark, a bar of chocolate, a lollipop, for reading and memorizing this verse of Scripture. It's a verse that's easy to memorize. Not only about can we say that about this verse, but we can also identify very easily who it is that's speaking. And you take a careful reading, verse 39 of the previous chapter, it says there, and Jesus said, and Jesus, the Lord Jesus, is speaking all the way through from verse 39 of the previous chapter right through to verse 7. Then it says, Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Easy to memorize, easy to identify who is speaking. Not only that, but I think it's very important to say that it's very easy to understand. This is a verse that's very easy to understand. Look what it says. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There's no one in this gathering this evening, and there's no one listening in online that would have to say here, this message or this verse or what Jesus is saying is too difficult for me. Single syllable words, 15 of them, and 14 of them rather, and one a double syllable word. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. It's a mistake, and I'll say this, and you consider it as I say it. It is a mistake to say that the Bible is full of big words. There are many today who shy away from the Bible because they say the Bible is a book of complicated words. It has been calculated by those who are able to put all the words together and divide them out that the average length of a Bible word is 5 letters. And in fact, as you read through the Bible, many of the words of the Bible are less than 5 letters. But think for a moment of the big Bible words or the important Bible words that are only 5 letters. Faith. That's a fundamental, that's an important Christian word. Faith. Mercy. That's 5 letters. That's a wonderful Bible word. Grace. That was the word that that birthed the Reformation. God's grace. That salvation was of grace and not of works. Faith. Mercy. Grace. What about that great word? Blood. We read about the blood right back in Genesis, and we read about the sacrifices all the way through Genesis and Exodus, and we come to the ultimate sacrifice that Christ offered on the cross for our sins. And without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Faith, mercy, blood, grace, truth. The Bible is truth, but that's only a 5-letter word. Risen, resurrection. But Jesus, he is not here, but he is risen. That's a great Bible truth. And yet the little word is only 5 letters. And then, of course, the greatest word of all. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. 5 letters. Friends this evening, listening online, watching in or sitting in this building, whoever you are, however little of this book or this Bible that you know, here's a verse that's easy to memorize. Here's a verse that's easy to understand. Here's a verse that you know who's saying it. And here's a verse that's really filled with a truth. And here's a verse where the center truth of this verse is the word saved. And it's simply 5 letters. The word saved. Many today tell us that they would love to be a Christian, but they do not understand what it is to be a Christian. They don't know how to become a Christian, or they do not understand how God could love them or how they can be saved. But this particular word saved, let me say this evening, it is a Christian word. It is the Lord Jesus here who is speaking. There's no other religion. There's no other faith. There's no other doctrine or philosophy in all of the world that takes and says that you can be saved. Catholicism doesn't talk about being saved. Mormonism doesn't talk about being saved. Islam doesn't talk about being saved. But being saved is at the heart of the gospel. The devil would love if this word saved could be removed from the Bible, but it cannot be removed from the Bible. The devil would love if sinners and if people in the world today could not hear or would not know that there's such a word as the word saved. And yet Jesus here in this lovely text, he talks about being saved. If any, I am the door, by me if anyone enter in, he shall be saved. Men and women, boys and girls, older or younger, richer or poorer, Jesus wants you to be saved. Jesus wants to save you. What it would be if for the alcoholic there was no such thing as being saved? What a thing it would be for the gambler if there's no such thing as being saved? What it would be for the drug addict if there's no such thing as being saved? What a thing it would be for the adulterer if there's no such thing as being saved. What it would be for the person who is murdered if there's no possibility that you could be saved. What it would be for the person who's filled with pride, selfishness, covetousness, the blasphemer, the liar, if this word wasn't in the Bible. But the word's in the Bible, and Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if anyone enters in, they shall be saved. We heard about the prodigal son this morning. Isn't it wonderful that the prodigal could come back and be saved? Isn't it wonderful that the backslider can be restored and forgiven and saved from their backsliding? Isn't it wonderful that the one who has wandered away and never been saved can come back again, no matter how far they've gone, and they can be saved? They tell us that it's an old-fashioned word. They say, well, people don't understand it anymore, but do you know what? The word saved was a favorite word of the Apostle Paul. Many of you people here this evening who are saved already, you'll know this. But as you read through the New Testament, this is a Bible word. This is a Christian word. You remember what Paul said in Romans 10? Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He says in chapter 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The preaching of the cross is to those who perish foolishness, but to those of us who are saved, it is the power of God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you remember what Paul said in Timothy? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. That's a truth that we need to remember as well. I hear people speaking, and it's almost as if there's people that God doesn't want to save. He will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's Paul, but what about Peter? Peter, as he preached on the day of Pentecost, he spoke to a vast crowd and he said, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When Peter and John went into the temple in Acts chapter 4, Peter was able to say, neither is there salvation in any other, because there's no other name given under heaven, given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. Brothers and sisters, friends this evening, this is a wonderful word. It's a Bible word. You look in the Old Testament, chapter 45 of Isaiah, the Lord says through his prophet, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And how many could stand up on a chair from where they're sitting this evening and they would hear and they could say like David of old, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. That's what Jesus does for guilty, poor sinners. People who are lost, people who are struggling, people who are down, people who are on their way to a lost eternity, you're able to be saved. It was Jeremiah who warned the people of old, the summer is ended, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. Friends, this evening, are you saved? Are you sure you're saved? Do you know you're saved? Jesus would say to you this evening, I am the door. By me, if anyone enters in, he shall be saved. The Lord Jesus used this word on many occasions about being saved. Sometimes we're told, oh, that's just an evangelical word, or that's these gospel Bible-bashing churches' word. This is not a Bible-bashing church's word. This is the word that the Lord Jesus used. Do you remember whenever Simon the Pharisee invited the Lord Jesus into his house, and as the Lord sat in Simon the Pharisee's house, a woman came in. And as the Lord Jesus is there, this woman comes in and she begins to wash his feet with her tears and to dry them with the hairs of her head. And Simon the Pharisee, with indignation, said, if this man was a prophet, he would know what sort of woman this is who's touching him. And then the Lord addresses Simon directly, and he says, Simon, I came into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. This woman has not ceased to wash my feet with tears. You have not anointed my head with oil, but this woman has anointed me with my feet with ointment. And then the Lord Jesus looked at Simon. He says, I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are all forgiven. And then he turns to the woman and he says, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Imagine to hear those words from the Lord Jesus. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Has there ever been a day like that in your life? Younger, older, recently, many years ago, when Jesus by his Spirit spoke to your heart and said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Friends, this evening, this is a wonderful word. When the angel spoke to Joseph, he told him, thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. It was the Lord Jesus who told Zacchaeus, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. It was the angels who told the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And it was the woman at the well who, when they asked her, who is this man? And she says, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And when the men went and they met Jesus, they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of your saying, but we have heard him for ourselves, and we believe that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Friends, I don't need to say anything more in regards to the importance, the wonder of this word, saved. Are you saved? Do you know you're saved? When were you saved? Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from what? I remember whenever after I became a Christian, just coming into my teenage years, and one of the first things I did, I got a little badge, and it's two words on it, Jesus saves. That was a good way to go into school and to say, I've become a Christian. But I wore that badge in school, and then I remember starting work, and I had this little badge on my lapel, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And the manager in the office that I worked in, he says, Hugh, sure, everybody knows he saves. Everybody knows he saves. But do they? Do you know that he saves? How do you know that he saves? What does he save you from? How has he changed your life? Are you sure you're going to heaven? Are you saved? Those are big questions. Saved from what? Well, the first thing I think we need to say is this. When a person is saved, they're saved from the penalty of sin. Saved from the penalty of sin. In Northern Ireland, everyone's crying out for justice. Everybody wants justice. Things that happened over 50 years ago, people are still saying, we want justice. We can't let this go. And in one sense, you say, I understand that. And people who have suffered loss at the hands of paramilitaries, people who have suffered loss at the hands of the forces of law and order, people who have been done an injustice. We all believe in justice. Everybody believes in justice. The Bible tells us that God is a God of justice, and God must punish sin. Why would God not punish sin? Why would a holy God who's been offended, why would a holy God who has been sinned against, why would a holy God who has given us richly all things to enjoy, and yet man has shaken his fist at God and says, I don't want your love, I don't want your grace, I want to live my way. And we go, all we like sheep go astray, and we turn everyone to our own way. God is a God of justice, and something inside of us believes in justice. And brothers and sisters, people this evening still outside of Christ, whenever a person gets saved, they get saved from the penalty of sin. You see, this is the heart of the gospel. This is why we sang a hymn like what we did this evening. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. It's because God is a God of justice. And on that cross is where Christ, the sinless Son of God, Jesus, who had never sinned or broken God's laws, one of whom the Father alone could say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He went to the cross, and as we read this morning around the Lord's table, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. On that cross, Christ stood in the sinner's place. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the person who, when they realize and acknowledge their sin, and they come to that place where they trust Christ as their Savior, Jesus takes the judgment that they deserve, and they are delivered from the penalty and the justice of God against their sins. Jesus said, I am the door. Have you ever got to the cross where Christ died for you? Have you ever believed in him? Come to him. Put your trust in him. Have you ever been saved? Saved from the penalty of sin. But not only are we saved from the penalty of sin, we're also saved from the power of sin. I've already quoted that verse in regards to what the angel said to Joseph. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Paul says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. You see, Jesus not only saves from the penalty of sin, he saves from the power of sin. Changed lives. People who are not what they used to be. I love listening to testimonies. I love listening to testimonies of people, and you say, I would never have dreamed that about you. How the Lord has changed your life. How the Lord has made you new. How the Lord has set you free. It's a wonderful thing that Jesus is able to save. Save from the power of sin. Save from the power of alcohol. Save from the power of drugs. Save from the power of lust. And saved from the power of greed and selfishness. He's able to change us in the inside. Some of us, whenever we were younger, we trusted Christ as our Savior. And we say, well, what did the Lord save you from? Well, he saved us through our teenage years, forever going into those things that have wrecked and ruined so many. He has saved us and directed our path in life and delivered us from things that others are now drowned in. Many a man has said, if I hadn't got saved, I would be in prison today. Many a man has said, if I hadn't got saved, I'd be with my friends, and some of them are doing life for murder. You see, Jesus sometimes saves people out of sin, and other times he saves those of us who were saved younger. He saves us from ever going that way, because Jesus saves from the power of sin. saves from the penalty of sin, saves from the power of sin. But the Bible tells us this as well, one day he'll save us from the very presence of sin. It's a wonderful thing that we can be sure we're going to heaven. I remember wondering, can you ever be sure that you're going to heaven? And I used to lie awake at night and I would think, well, I'm not as bad as somebody else. Or if it's going to be in some pecking order, well, Hugh, surely you must be. But that's not what it is. The Bible says that you can be saved and be sure of going to heaven. Saved from the presence of sin. And one day in a place where there's no more sin, no more sorrow, no more pain. There is a city bright, closed are its gates to sin. Naught that defileth can ever enter in. You see, he saves us and he promises us a place in heaven. And one of the great truths that we have in the gospel is this. He saves us from the guilt of the past. He saves us from the sins of the present. And one day he promises us a home in heaven where there's no more sin. Heaven is a wonderful place. Heaven is something that we can share with you this evening, that you can be sure that you're going to heaven. The Bible tells us a number of things about heaven. It's a perfect place. I've already said one or two things about that. But it's also a prepared place. A prepared place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's for those who know him as their Savior. I wonder, do you know if you have a place prepared for you in heaven? The Apostle Peter speaks in his letter about a place reserved in heaven for you. It's wonderful if you know that there's a place reserved in heaven for you. A prepared place. And then, of course, heaven is a permanent place. Once you go to heaven, you're there for all eternity. You see, this life that Jesus gives to us is eternal life. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Friends, this evening, watching in online, sitting in our building, have you ever come to the door which is Christ Jesus? Have you ever trusted him as your Savior? Have you ever asked him? Have you ever repented of your sin and come and asked him to be your Savior? If not, you can do that this evening. A number of things about a door, just as we finish. A door is a means of admission. A door is a means of admission. When you're coming into this building this evening, you come through the door. Nobody thought of coming through the window. That's not how you enter. Jesus said, I am the door. There's many other doors that people try to enter heaven. But Jesus said, I am the door. He's the only door, a door of admission. Not only that, a door is a door. Not only is it a means of admission, but it's also a means of protection. Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. It's nice whenever you close the door, the things that are outside that would want to come in can't get in. And when a person comes to Christ, they're safe and they're secure. You see, Jesus doesn't half save us. Whenever we're on the inside of the door, he protects us and he keeps us. And friend, this evening, if you're saved, you can never be lost. If you're saved, Jesus will keep you for time and for eternity, because a door is a means of protection. Whenever Noah and his family entered the ark, the door was closed. They were protected inside the ark. And for everyone who has come to Christ, they've come through the door. They're protected on the inside. And Jesus says, they will never be lost. But the other side of the door is not only a means of admission, it's a means of protection, but it's also a means of exclusion. There are people who are outside the door. The Lord Jesus told a story of 10 bridesmaids. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. The bridegroom came. The 5 wise trimmed their lamps and they went to the marriage feast. And the Bible says the door was closed. And then the 5 foolish came and they knocked on the door and they said, "Let us in." And a voice from the other side said, "Depart from me. I never knew you." A door is a means of exclusion. And although I stand here this evening and I tell you of Christ the door, one door and only one, yet its sides are two, the inside and the outside. On what side are you? That's solemn. You can be saved from the penalty of sin. You can be saved from the power of sin. You can be saved from the presence of sin. But you've got to be on the inside. And Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the Son of God says, "I am the door. By me, if anyone enters in, they shall be saved." Have you ever entered in through him? Have you ever come? Or are you still on the outside? That's a big question. That's a solemn question. And friends, this evening as we come to a conclusion, it's only a step to Jesus. Why not take it now? It's only a step. The devil says you'll have another day, another opportunity, but you may never have another opportunity. And Jesus stands with open arms and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." May God, if he's speaking to you by his Spirit, give you the grace and may you say, "Yes, Lord. Jesus, Lord, tonight I'm coming. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed from Calvary." Be saved. Be saved tonight and know for sure that your sins are gone and that you're on your